We ask that you please remain muted for the entire service. We're going to be celebrating the Sacrament of Holy Communion tonight, so if you wish to partake, please take a moment to gather some bread or a cracker and something to drink if you have not done so already. Maundy Thursday is one of the most somber nights of the year for Christians. It is the night Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples. Tonight we will hear the words of the gospel writers describing the events that led to the arrest of Jesus, the betrayal by the ones he loved, the desertion by his disciples, his trial and his crucifixion. The office of Tenebrae is an ancient rite dating back to the 12th century. Tenebrae means darkness or shadows. Candles are often lit and then extinguished, leaving the worshipers in darkness. The service will conclude with all of us praying the Lord's Prayer together. And after that prayer, we don't linger, we don't greet one another. And this follows the tradition of remembering how the disciples fled in fear and confusion after the crucifixion. So Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
We remember the days of long ago, and we meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. We spread out our hands to you. Our souls thirst for you like the land after an extended drought. Answer us quickly and grant us living water that will satisfy our thirst and cleanse us. Fill us with your spirit now as we enter worship. Amen. Lord, we remember the first time you shared communion with your disciples at the Last Supper. Tonight, its meaning is intensified by the centuries that it has now been celebrated. You imbued it with meaning beyond the simplicity of the elements of bread and wine. We are awestruck by the power of the shared meal. We have been blessed by your sacrifice, which allows us a seat at your table, to enter your kingdom and enjoy eternal life. Jesus, we praise you for that and glorify your holy name. Amen.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross, till my troubles at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my troubles at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Pastor Glenn, please invite us to the Lord's table at this time for the sacrament of Holy Communion.
This table is open to all who confess Jesus as the Christ and seek to follow in Christ's way. Come to this sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are fulfilled, but because in your emptiness you stand in constant need of God's mercy and grace. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence and pray for his Spirit. Come to this table then, sisters and brothers, as you are. Partake and share. It is given to you and to me that we might know that God has come to us and shared our common lot and invited us to join the people of God's new age.
We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Eat of this. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me."
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread and bless this fruit of the vine. Bless all of us in our eating and drinking at your table, that our eyes may be open and we may recognize the risen Christ in our midst, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen.
So take this bread and eat of it, for it is a reminder of the body of Christ that is broken for you. And take this cup and drink of it. It is a reminder of Christ's blood shed for you.
We thank you, God, for inviting us to this table where we have known the presence of Christ and have received all Christ's gifts. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and let us hold forth your praise in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
When Jesus wept the falling tear, in mercy flowed beyond all bound. When Jesus groaned, a trembling fear seized all the guilty world around.
When Jesus wept the falling
has fled the troubling dream. When Jesus wept and found me, 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 when Jesus groaned a trembling fear, seized all the guilty world around.
The Gospel of Mark describes in great detail how Jesus and his disciple gathered together to eat the Passover meal. That meal for Jewish people is meant to remember their escape from slavery in Egypt and the granting of the Ten Commandments. For Christians, it becomes the basis for what we call the sacrament of Holy Communion. I'll be reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14, verses 12 through 16. Please hear these words. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparation for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal.
There was a national football player who had just begun his career with the Arizona Cardinals and had earned a multi-million dollar contract. Everything seemed to be going as it should for this very talented young man. But then 9/11 happened, and he signed up to defend his country as a U.S. Army Ranger. His name was Pat Tillman. In April of 2004 in Afghanistan, Tillman's platoon was attacked and there was a confusing firefight. He was shot and killed. And no one knows exactly what happened, but it was later determined that he was shot actually by our side, his own men. And in war, this is called friendly fire. We could say that Jesus was a victim of friendly fire. He comes together with his closest friends, his disciples. Judas was the first to betray Jesus. Judas was the treasurer of the group, so he had a special place of honor and was well trusted. Peter was sort of looked at as the known leader of the group, and we will hear how he disowned Jesus in his time of need. By the end of the evening, all the disciples will have gone into hiding. Sometimes we are betrayed by well-meaning friends, and it can be bruising, but we should remember that Jesus was betrayed at his most vulnerable time. And on this evening, we broke bread and drank the wine together, telling the story of Jesus and his death, because Jesus knew that this set of actions would explain the meaning of his death in a way that nothing else could. No theories, no clever ideas, just the facts. It's no wonder that the church has for so long celebrated this sacred night. This is the one night we can see as well as touch the meaning of Christ's death. But if we want to have the ultimate meaning of it all, this is the night when Jesus also says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." For Christians, this is the 11th commandment. We treasure the 10 commandments from the Jewish scriptures, but this is a uniquely Christian commandment from the very lips of Jesus. new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. When we leave the worship this evening, I hope we will each take Jesus with us, as well as the knowledge that we are a part of the entire family of Jesus Christ, and that we bear the responsibility for one another and all our brothers and sisters in the world. So gather in this somber time to hear the words of witnesses to the events of the Passover evening in Jerusalem as I light the Christ candle and we begin the readings.
Shadow of Betrayal, Matthew 26, 20 through 22. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord."
Shadow of the Unshared Vigil. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour?"
Shadow of Arrest, Matthew 26, 46 through 50. "Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him.
Shadow of Desertion, Matthew 26, verses 53 to 56. "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, 'Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were abandoned? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all of this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled.' Then all the disciples deserted him and fled."
Thank you.
Shadow of Denial from Matthews 26, 57 to 58, and 69 to 75. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Shadow of the Crown of Thorns, Matthew 27, 27 through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and they put his own clothes on him. And then they led him away to crucify him.
sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down. Now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thy only crown. How pale thou art with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What language
of the cross, Luke 23:33-34. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing.
Shadow of Desolation, Luke 23:44-45. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two.
Crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to
tree. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.